Welcome to the Trend Detection Podcast, powered by Siemens. And now your host, Niall Sullivan.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Trend Detection Podcast. I'm going to call it a special episode because we're really excited at Siemens to announce our new report, The True Cost of Downtime, which some of you might know about. We've done it for the past, I mean, 2 or 3 years now. It's becoming a regular thing. We've got some really great insights to share today with you, and we're going to discuss those. I'd like to introduce my colleague, Anya Adling, who's going to discuss everything to do with downtime today. So I hope you, anyone out there is really interested in downtime, because we're really going to dive into that topic. So, but before we do, I'll hand over to you, Anya, just to briefly introduce yourself. That's okay.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for inviting me, Niall. What can I say? I'm responsible for portfolio in Siemens in the customer services area, and we take a closer look at predictive maintenance. So this is kind of the background why I'm interested in exactly this report and the findings out of it. Yeah, it was quite an interesting read.
Yeah. Yeah. And you helped, I guess, craft the well, actually, because I see we've got the first question, which I've actually noted when I sent them over to you, that it's actually something more for me to answer rather than yourself. Because so this true cost of downtime, like I said, has been we've been doing it for the past 2 or 3 years, so before, since I was acquired by Siemens as well. And the background around it is we've got a return on investment calculator on our website. But, you know, we had that, you know, pre-acquisition, and now part of the Siemens world as well. And what we do, we use that data. Obviously, it's all anonymous, and we turn that into insights. We analyze the data, we look at any trends, and then we produce this report, which over the past 3 years has got a fantastic sort of response from people. It's been shared in publications, and I see it referenced a lot, which is really great. And there's, again, some really interesting stuff we want to dive in today. So, on that note, I guess that's the place to start, really. So, Anya, from your point of view, what were the sort of main takeaways from the report, of this year's report, should I say?
Okay, so I was really surprised by the variety of factors that pay into the price of downtime. So intuitively, I would have just considered, well, inflation as the driver, and cost goes always up. But actually, yes, there's different strategies that can be applied to reduce the cost of downtime. I mean, obviously, one being better maintenance strategies. So this is the part where I'm heavily invested, but also in terms of having material on stock and other factors have an influence on the downtime. And this was, yeah, the most interesting part, to see the changes in different industries over the years. And it's not just the maintenance that has influence, but it's definitely a major one.
And do you think that's quite common, is to sort of look, because when you hear the word downtime, unplanned downtime, is it quite common just to think of that very narrowly in terms of what that means?
Yeah. I mean, when I talk to customers, downtime usually is something negative. It's not neutral, because the opposite of uptime could be downtime, but maybe there's a third category also, just regular off time. So off time when nobody's working at night, for example, so that's okay. But downtime, usually people mean they want to be operating, they want to be producing, but they cannot for some reason. That's when they call it downtime. And this, of course, is something negative. And then when we talk about downtime with the customers, there's also, let's say, two types of downtimes, because there's the unplanned downtime, the worst of it all. I mean, being surprised in a very bad way, having people there at the site who want to operate, but they cannot, having a lot of costs coming up unexpectedly to perform maintenance and repairs. So this is the very bad downtime. And then there's also the more accepted downtime in terms of planned downtime. So for maintenance department, it's normal that they have their maintenance slots, and it seems, accepted more that there exists planned downtime. But if companies really are keen on availability and increasing uptime, they should also consider reducing planned downtime, which there are ways to do that. So this is something, there's really different connotations to downtime when we talk to our customers.
Yeah, and I guess you sort of outlined sort of why it's important for businesses to understand these costs. Well, maybe that's something we can dive into a little bit more. You know, why is it sort of important to truly understand it, not just the top level sort of stuff?
Well, downtime is expensive. This I can tell by reading the report. And I was really amazed by how expensive it is, because usually customers don't mention this when they talk to us. Maybe they're not aware. Maybe they don't want to share all the details with us. But I mean, if you really honestly look at it, it's expensive. And I mean, looking, for example, at fast moving consumer goods, it was around, what was it? $40,000 per hour, so that's $650 per minute. I kind of try to get a picture, because these really big numbers, it's almost impossible to understand. But drilling it down a bit makes it easier to understand. So imagining $650 per minute, that's a lot of razor blades they produce, for example, right? And compared to automotive, where it's more around 3.2 million per hour, that's around $36,000 per minute, and that's maybe a car per minute, right? So this is something to imagine actually what that means in reality. And then I mean, oil and gas is another sector that we took a look at, and heavy industry. But there's a big range of costs. Automotive, of course, being the winner here, or holding the record, and fast moving consumer goods on the lower end, and the other two are more in between those.
Okay, so between, if you want to, like I said, on both ends of the scale, so from automotive to consumer goods. I mean, if someone looked at that and from the outside, they might think, oh, it's not a big problem for consumer goods manufacturers. Manufacturers. I guess that it's all relative, right? I guess is what you'd say.
It's relative, yeah. And in the end, I mean, each of these businesses has their targets that they want to achieve. And if they are hindered in achieving their targets, they need to do something about it.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I guess what we're talking about, again, focusing on consumer goods, it's like fine margins as well, isn't it? We're talking about. It's very fine margins we're talking about. So it might seem like a small amount, but a small saving can go a long way.
Exactly. I mean, we talk about minutes, but sometimes the downtime can be days, right? And that adds up. So these sums become more huge over the course of a complete year. I think you can do a lot of investment that's helpful to prevent that for this kind of money.
And if we sort of think from the technology side, because that's the sort of the other end of the report. So we obviously focused a lot on the cost of downtime. I mean, reflected in the name of the report, but there's also, does the report sort of reflect people are now sort of taking it more seriously? You'd think with those sort of numbers, organizations would be. But I mean, at least, for example, I think it said 9 in 10 organizations are now collecting data of some sort. So they realize that there's a pathway to sort of trying to solve some of these problems. But is that from your experience as well? Is a company sort of trying to wake it up to that fact, maybe?
Yeah, and collecting data and calculating something out of it. Sometimes I see that the finance guys are more advanced. They have their numbers available. They are used to making these calculations all day long. But looking at the production environment and the maintenance, there it's sometimes a different picture. They don't have all the data available yet. So it's for them, it's a bigger investment to get all the data that they would need to measure the success of their machines, or the KPIs of overall equipment effectiveness, for example. So sometimes it's different people in the finance area. They like to calculate everything and compare, but the maintenance department might not be able to provide all the relevant figures for them yet. So this is something, there's a difference, and we need to close this gap.
Yeah, No, absolutely. But is it a case that data, we're now, well, I mean, the report says this as well, like data's actually being collected, but it's maybe not being, it's not being utilized in a way. It's like, it's almost, you know, from my experience talking to customers and, you know, going to events and stuff, that seems to be a thing. Oh, we've collected all this data, but we don't quite know what's the, what do we do with it kind of thing. I guess that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah, and maybe it's separated from different data, and they need to come all together in the end, because in the end it's always a business decision. Where do I spend my money on, or what profit do I generate by investing a certain amount for a certain activity? Ultimately, it's just a financial discussion, but there's some work involved also in, well, in the real life, what that means.
Please like and subscribe on all major podcast channels and find out more about Sensei Predictive Maintenance at Siemens.com.